fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's past the hour, a few seconds late getting started, but this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and in point of fact, it is the 23rd day of May, 2017, my great-grandfather's birthday, also my second eldest sister's birthday, although she is no longer celebrating birthdays. Not because she's vain about her age, but because, you know, she's dead. Jim. It's the 23rd day of May, and, the 23rd day of that May happens to, fall on a Tuesday, so we've all got a pretty good idea what that means. And the production computer is running, in its, own glacial fashion. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. We can take care of those preliminaries while we're watching other things. Like, you know, the computer not work. Oh, well. I'd love to tell you who's in the chat room right about now. I don't know if I can do that or not. We'll have to see. I'm trying to sign in even as we speak. I think I'm going to be able to tell you. If you would like to be in the chat room, it's easier. You can probably get there more easily than I can, because your computer is probably not, you know, all ancient and stuff. Anyway, and it's probably not a 32-bit system with 4 gigs of RAM running. Windows 10... Anyway, if you do pick out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead, Jug of Punch, and Silent R. Lamar, and Laborman, and Lizardo, and Squeaky, and Texas Mark, and V.T. Blom. Yay! That's a good group for a good start for a Titanic Tuesday, and there'll probably be more wander in as we go. This is a listener-supported broadcast. We try to raise $200 every evening. Sometimes we're successful, sometimes we are not. Last night was one of those are-not moments. But we do have the overnight crew. We do have, yes, our subscribers. We have 3 of them on the 23rd of the month. And so thanks go out to Brenda. Thank you, Brenda. And thanks go out to Joyce. Thank you, Joyce. And thanks go out to Philip over in Maryland. So thank you, one and all. That means that we have we don't have $360 to raise tonight. We have $370. We have 368. $368 to raise for this evening to stay even for this final full month of May as we run downhill toward Norsky nudging and Lithuanian licking. Yes. That makes a great, great difference. If you would like to be a subscriber, which just means that you went to headonradionetwork.com and you click the box that says make this a recurring monthly donation and you put like $10 in there. Mr. Soros, Mr. Reiner, Mr. DiCaprio, Ms. Streisand, all of those. Y'all put no less than $1,000 in there, okay? If we had four limousine liberals at $1,000 a month apiece, I could shut up about the fundraising forevermore. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Yeah. But we don't. So it takes us working together. And with only three subscribers on the 23rd of the month, if you'd like to jump in, you're more than welcome so to do. Just click that little box. If not, you know, just put whatever in the box. Don't put the WHATEVER in the box. It won't work. But $10, whatever. Well, we got $368 to raise this evening, and I'm not even going to attempt the ciphering for that. No, not at all. The final week, the final full week of the month of May, Anatole, unless I said something entirely dippy. I don't think I did. If I did, someone will tell me. No, I think I said the final full week of the month of May. So, that's that. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. And sending out some good wishes this evening. Boss Man Wayne had his gallbladder removed yesterday, and he is resting and recuperating at home. And so I certainly hope he's not feeling great, but, you know, gallbladders aren't open surgery anymore, and laparoscopy is a lot easier to get over, generally speaking, than, say, open surgery and great big holes and great big slashes in your innards. Right. Get well soon, Boss Man Wayne. If you send something to the mailbox, I won't be able to respond as to whether or not it was received probably for, I'd say a week or more. I won't know because Boss Man Wayne won't be able to check it. And that's what he does because he's over there. I'm over here. It is, no, I'm pretty sure I said the final full week of the month of May. Anyway, we'll have to check the archive. Maybe I didn't. Somebody help. Anyway, it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. It is a day that is reserved. Thank you very kindly, Liz, for getting us started. Now we have only $358 to go for fundraising this evening. Thank you very kindly, Liz. It is much appreciated. It is a day that we reserve for manifestations of Titanic intellect. Generally speaking, Titanic right-wing intellect. You know, the kind that says full speed ahead when somebody tells you there's a great big immovable iceberg, intransigent even, dead ahead. Now, what that means, where that comes from, that it many, many, many a year ago, yeah, our buddy Jim was listening to right-wing radio when he heard the morning monotone over there take a call in the midst of, you know, generally what he would just read the newspaper into the microphone every morning in that monotone. It was hell on local law enforcement. Caused all kinds of car wrecks. You know, just putting drivers to sleep. Um, But he took a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, who said, "Steve, how come it is that they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I done seed them down in the mines and ferns and things like that, but seashells, we ain't nowhere near the beach." To which, with all the assurance that comes with being a moron and a titanic right-wing intellect, Steve responded, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Yeah. And so it is that we had a name for what happens on Tuesday. Titanic Tuesday. Still no word on what happened to the great big wooden bowl with the wooden spoons that you make. So Tuesdays, we celebrate right-wing intellect, and we got a lot of celebrating to do this evening. Thank you very kindly to Ralphs. Ralphs will get doubled by Ralphs. 20, your 5 becomes 10, your 15 becomes 30. Wants to kick in $25. Thank you, Ralph, very, very kindly. And that will help move us down toward, take us down to that 50. That'll take us down to, I owe a note back to Steve in China. Steve says he's unable to get the White Rose stream since it, even after we got back. Never been able to get the alternate stream. I don't know why that is. We're still working a few bugs out. For instance, Dr. Bill is back, but Dr. Bill's podcasts are not up at White Rose because Dr. Bill's archive has not been restored. And Ben is working on that. Well, thank you, Asa. Thank you very kindly. Asa says, "I've heard you tell many versions of the Titanic plate story, and dare I say today's was the best I've heard so far." There's not a lot of room for extemporizing in the Titanic plate story. Thank you, Asa. So we might as well get with it. Oh, look, it's another note from Brain, who is now back to signing his name, Brain. This is becoming, I don't know, I'll keep sharing Brain's, and I use the term loosely, musings, until they're no longer fun. Subject line from Brain: "What are we going to do tonight, Brain?" "Send another email to Bob, because we don't listen to the program. We've told him we don't listen to the program. We're never listening to the program again." Right, Brain. Mm-hmm. Subject line: "Now you're really pissing me off." It's taken this long, has it? You didn't realize, Brain? You fucking Trumpanzee? You goddamned idiot who voted for Trump? I mean, I'm sorry. You voted for Trump. Okay? I at that point in time, I don't care if you can see individual atoms and know them by their names of Fred and Bill and Harry and Laura and Susan, and I don't care. You voted for Trump. You're a goddamn fool. You're not an ordinary fool. You're a goddamn fool. You are, as we say around here, dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. You voted for Trump. You fuckwit. You want to start an intellectual war with me that you can't win? No, I want to start an intellectual war with you that'll be like no war at all, because it'll be a trouncing, because, you don't have much to work with there, brain. It's on, he says, in all caps. Yeah, as VT Blom notes in the chat room, if you voted for Trump, you failed the IQ test. It was a one-question IQ test, brain. And you got it wrong! Yeah. Anyway, you and I are going to debate. I don't think you saying stupid things that can be easily disproven and me taking on the role of disproving the stupid things you say is actually a debate. It's more like shooting fish in a barrel. I think it will be great to clean your clock because I'm much smarter than you. Obviously, because you misspell your own fucking name, brain. And, in case I haven't mentioned, you voted for Trump! You schmuck. You voted to fuck tens of millions, hundreds of millions of human beings in this country, but you think you're smart. You call that smart. Dipshit. I'm much smarter than you and that neoliberal shill Billable Rick. Wait a minute. Neoliberal shill! You realize, of course, these aren't real emails. I mean, I get them. I don't write them. But this is somebody trying to be cute. This is somebody, in the sort of open source community way that we do this program, all volunteer staff and all of that. This person is not real. I mean, he writes too much like a textbook stereotype, ultra lefty, sparkle farting, powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade member. Billable Rick was wrong about Trump losing the election, and he's wrong about that class action suit against the DNC going nowhere. Well, we'll kind of have to wait and see on that, but I think the basic tenets of that class action lawsuit, I think we're absolutely correct on them. It is not an exercise in altruism, because in point of fact, the lawyers on the case are asking to be paid money. They ain't working for free. And it's my understanding they've got a contingent fee agreement which says if they lose, they don't get paid. But if they win big. None of this bullshit billable hour stuff. No. They get a big percentage of whatever the damage award is. Yeah. See? Oh, brain... then says, by the way, Bob, don't take this the wrong way, but maybe your gut wouldn't hurt if you cut back on the McDonald's fat burgers. Dipshit. I can't think of the last time I ate at McDonald's, even when my gut was not happy, or even when my gut was not acting up. I stayed away from that place. You goddamn genius. Then again, maybe you'd be a little smarter, brain, if you'd remember to wear your little helmet when you go outside to keep you from bumping into parked cars in traffic and trees and walls and things like that. But, you know, who the hell am I? I look forward to your response per my challenge. Happy Titanic Tuesday, brain. Whoever's writing these is making a good attempt, but I don't know. We'll see. from Matt in San Francisco. Please, no musings. Brain's notes make my brain hurt. I know. The stupid. It's strong with this one. Not you, Matt. Brain. Ron in Raleigh says, hey, Bob, can you say Dunning-Kruger syndrome? Brain is dumber than a bag of hair. Yeah. Yeah. Marty says, stop feeding the trolls. You know, if I thought it was a real troll, Marty, I would. But somebody's putting some effort into this to make it to make him or herself sound like a real live Trumpanzee slash ultra left twit. And I'll play along for a little while. I mean, you understand. Scott and Punky out in San Diego with a note. The subject line, description of Trump voters. I think the term you're looking for to describe the typical Trump voter is irretrievably stupid. I think that works rather nicely. That does indeed work rather nicely. Scott and Punky, I know Punky told you to send that. Thank you, John, for jumping in on Ralph's $25 challenge. There's 10 bucks of it knocked down. You just got your contribution bumped up to 20 bucks, courtesy of Ralph's. Now there's 15 more to go, which will take us down to $308 to raise. Thank you, John. Thank you very much indeed. Lizardo in the chat room. Brain the one hemisphere wonder. Too bad it's on the right. And yes, I couldn't agree more. At 6:23 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Laborman notes, Bob, scrumpanzees are jagovs. And yes, as a matter of fact, yes, they are. Yeah, I know, and this will start a little brush fire. Clarity says, taking issue with my saying that Brain's notes are not real notes, and Brain is not a real person. Clarity says, parody? That rhymes, sorry. Clarity says, parody? Don't be too sure. Hard to tell a Bernie bro from someone with neocon derangement syndrome. I don't even like thinking of them as Bernie bros. Because even Bernie doesn't pass the ideological purity test for some of these freaks. In the chat room, wait a minute. In the chat room, VT Blom notes, you know, the Trumpanzees are losing bad when our in-house optimists, Scott and Punky, are turning on them. You hear that, Scott? You hear that, Punky? Clarity notes, though, as a transition into the evening's topicality. Clarity notes, ISIS uses nail bombs. The GOP uses budgetary hatchetry. My man Greg Walden, sick, seems intent on making BFEO into Tennistan. Is we in Oregon? Hardly know it. West to east. Alabama for everybody. Mississippi for everybody. That's the plan. Why do you think they started with Wisconsin? Wisconsin had a long and respectable progressive history. So necessarily the Koch brothers tasked Snot Walker with ruining that fair state, and a fair state it is. How beautiful, how lovely, what wonderful, gracious people. and they're turning they're turning Wisconsin into Talibama. And they're moving on. And eventually they will. They'll get seriously in earnest about places like Oregon and Washington and California. Mm-hmm. But Clarity mentions ISIS. So too did Marty. Marty, a moment ago, said, "Would it be too Alex Jones-ish of me to suggest that despite reports of responsibility being claimed by Islamic State that IS or Daesh really has nothing to do with what happened in Manchester last night?" I guess some of the opinion that a giant asteroid could be bearing down on Earth, an extinction-level event, and someone would say ISIS or ISIL would be said to have claimed responsibility for the asteroid. Is that far out there? Look, and thank you, Silent R. Lamar. Hey, Bob, stop trying to fix stupid. We're not trying to fix it here, Silent R. Lamar. We're just taking note of it. Yeah, just say it. But I understand what Marty's getting at. Not all that different headloppers from the good headloppers, our partners in peace, the Saudi Arabians, the members of ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, Dickheads Anonymous, Murderous, Bloodthirsty Assholes Incorporated, whatever you want to call them. Their central, if you can call it success, lies in marketing and not necessarily mayhem. So they take credit, you know, whatever, you know. Walmart burns down in Busted Knuckle, Wyoming in the middle of the night. ISIS will take credit. Let's see, in Baltimore, a demolition crew tore down the wrong damn building and then went, oops. And of course ISIS, We made them tear down the wrong building, for we are ISIS, ISIL, Daesh. We can't even come up with a name that we can all agree upon. But we do lop heads. We lop them rather spectacularly. Yes, the Saudis lop heads too, but yes, they were lopping heads long before we were, but we're the caliphate, don't you know? I'm not making light of what happened. No, I'm so not. It's pathetic and it's infuriating. But and you know, Jesus, they were, killing children. But that's not exactly a new thing. And it might be wise to mention that we've got a couple of children killing, mass murder sorts of incidents of our own. How's about the Oklahoma City bombing? Remember, there was a daycare center there. Remember that iconic photograph of the firefighter carrying the baby in his arms with the blast rubble all over? Yeah, right. And then there were the almost three dozen, 5, 6, 7-year-olds at Sandy Hook Elementary. Yeah, and neither one of those were ISIL or ISIS. And then there's all the dead out at Columbine. Mm-hmm. And then, as Lizardo points out in the chat room, the current budget will kill children too. So does that mean we condemn, say, the Republican Party in the same breath that we condemn ISIS because they're both children killers? I say, why not? Because when you get right down to it, the Republican Party is far more effective than ISIS, Daesh, ISIL is. And there have been a lot of observations today about what happened in Manchester. And it becomes, I don't know. Will Comrade Kumquat say the bomber's name? It's another opportunity for him to call him Solomon instead of Solomon. Yeah, oddly enough, and, you know, ISIS claims he's one of theirs. The guy who blew up the Ariana Grande concert had the same first name as the Royal Majestic Noble Gracious Serene Highness of Saudi Arabia. Salman. Or as Tangerine Tiberius referred to him, Solomon.
Yeah.
The United Kingdom this evening, and, you know, it's coming up on, I think coming up on midnight, not quite midnight. It's either that or coming up on 1 a.m. is at sweat condition alpha. The New York Times noting that the threat level in Britain has been elevated to critical. And that is the highest threat level there is. And that is an indication, according to Theresa Mayhem, that
it is a possibility we cannot ignore that there is a wider group of individuals linked to this attack.
The Westminster Bridge thing, now this. And these things are so damn successful. I don't mean in terms of carnage, but they're successful in prompting a response from nation states, because they are, in fact, asymmetrical. The guy who did it, yeah, he's dead. He apparently had a buddy. The buddy's been arrested. So, maybe he's singing, maybe he's not. But all he says, all he has to do is say, "That's right. Yeah, we're going to bomb a soccer match next." And so they tightened down all the soccer stadiums. I'm sorry, well, he wouldn't say soccer now, would he? He'd say, "That's right, we're going to bomb a football match next." And instead they do cricket. There's not a damn thing you can do. There's not much you can do about this sort of thing unless you can figure out a way to remove the urge to create them in the first place. And some people just want to do this stuff. Hint, in case we're wondering, it's not just Muslims, it's not just people from the Middle East. Oh, hell no. One of the more bizarre stories of the almost half-done year has come out of Tampa, Florida, and Key Largo. Have you seen this thing? Okay, so first of all, an 18-year-old white kid who had been a neo-Nazi, stay with me, it gets complicated, like, I'm not kidding, and had neo-Nazi pals, converts to Islam. And his buddies were 22-year-old Jeremy Himmelman and 18-year-old Andrew Onestchuk. Fine Irish names, both. Young Devin Arthurs converts to Islam, and there's really not a lot involved with converting to Islam. It's, you know, it's not like you have to send in the back of a matchbook to Mecca or anything and wait for your certificate suitable for framing to come back. Christianity's kind of the same way, depending on which brand you're following. So he comes back to his apartment that he shares, and he says, "I've converted to Islam. I'm a Muslim now." And neo-Nazis Jeremy Himmelman and Andrew Onestchuk begin giving him shit. Did I mention this is in Florida? Well, so 18-year-old Devin Arthurs then blows away Jeremy Himmelman and Andrew Onestchuk, his roommates. Straightforward kind of massacre and murder and mayhem sort of thing, right? Yeah. Well, then it gets weirder, because down in Key Largo, at a routine traffic checkpoint, I guess those are routine now in Merca.
The greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, in the universe today, under God, amen.
His third roommate, a guy named Brandon Russell, gets arrested because there's a want out for Brandon Russell back in Tampa, where his other two roommates are dead and his third roommate is a homicidal Muslim. Just using terms here, I'm not making judgments. Just trying to keep the characters separate. Well, then, And understand, after he killed the two roommates, Devin Arthurs went into a nearby tobacco shop and vaping shop or whatever in an area called Tampa Palms and took hostages, threatened to kill them too. Once the police arrived, they brought in the hostage negotiator, being as he was a white kid, they offered him a trip to Burger King. No, I added that part. But the cops convinced Devin Arthurs to turn in his hostages, which he did, and they then arrested him. In case anybody's forgotten, we're talking about four people who were all neo-Nazis. So, as far as the two dead neo-Nazis, I don't know if you're going to get all broke up about it. I can't work up a real good sad, because at that point in time, they became good Nazis. Well, like I said, it gets weirder. The Miami Herald's on this. The Tampa Bay Times is on this. And when they when the police detained Brandon Russell, there was then a search warrant executed for the apartment where the four lived. And when they did that, they found bomb-making materials. Police had first encountered Brandon Russell dressed up all in camouflage. Of course, that doesn't prove anything. That's the wardrobe of half of redneck Florida and the better part of, quite often, of West Virginia. Various camouflage patterns are what passes for a fashion statement in a whole lot of redneck America. But Brandon Russell was bawling, and because his two best Nazi friends had been killed by his third best Nazi friend. And then he beat a hasty retreat where he was arrested in Key Largo. He is at present cooling his heels at a federal facility in Miami because of the bomb-making materials and the explosives that the police found, some of which were radioactive. This is one ISIS can't take credit for. The kind that, say, Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard said, doesn't necessarily approve of, but he certainly understands motivation. Arthurs is claiming that he had to kill his neo-Nazi roommates, plural acts of, because he has a far greater problem. Is, say, ISIS, and the average will wet him or herself. Right? So, just saying, it's, you know, not always the Muslims. Marty says, shall we lay some odds that someone in the for-profit media will say that IS claims responsibility for ... And yeah, I'm sorry about the buffering. I'm almost convinced that this has something to do with the streaming PC and not necessarily the servers. Because it has absolutely nothing. There's nothing when it's on the rerun stream. I apologize. That's just tech stuff. Marty also notes, I'm surprised IS hasn't taken responsibility for doing what Mr. Big, Francisco Scaramanga, Carl Stromberg, Hugo Drox, Ari Christatos, Prince Kamal Khan, and Max Zorin couldn't do, namely kill James Bond, 007, License to Kill, Roger Moore, dead today, high up in his 80s. I know. So, it's just a friendly reminder that it's not just disaffected people from the Middle East who slaughter innocents. But we've had a mass killing, and that means, of course, that we, by definition, have to hear from
Alex Jones.
Because Alex, who can be made to forget things by a bowl of chili.
ISIS chili.
Well, Alex knows what happened in Manchester.
Grande was having a big concert tonight, and as it let out a few hours ago, Islamist terrorists detonated a suicide bomb, reportedly, killing at least 19 and injuring over 50 others. President Trump gave an unprecedented speech in the Islamic Council of 50 Islamic nations.
Is there a little slurring going on in there?
If you want peace, fine. But if you want to attack Christians, and if you want war, you're going to get it. And he said, radical Islam is the problem. This was incredible. This was right as the NSA and the Palantir program gave them access to our NSA database.
Yeah, there's only one problem there, Al. If you'd been paying attention to the speech like your other white wing buddies, you would have noticed that he didn't say radical Islam. He said violent extremism. That's why your other right wing buddies are now calling the Clementine Caligula a cuck. Asa asking, what the hell is Islamist terrorist, Alex? Yeah, no, he's a little slurry. And he posted this to YouTube, standing in front of some beige curtain, probably the present or former Mrs. Jones, having thought during a certain happening in her existence, beige. I'll get beige curtains. Beige. I'll paint the ceiling beige. And well, Palantir has our NSA database thingy stuff.
That's the big story nobody's reporting, is that crystal ball they had was the control system for PowerPoint in a giant threat fusion center with over 500 desks and a huge heads-up 3D display.
You knew he couldn't stay away from the orb, didn't you? You just knew. Man, I live for Titanic Tuesdays. Because we get this stuff.
That's what the orb was. The orb controls the big board. And now the Muslims can see the big board.
It's beautiful. Couldn't pay to have this stuff written.
I was like, what's this orb about? Well, that's the control system for the whole Palantir program. Did crystal balls exist 1,000 years ago? Probably not. They do now.
No. If you keep both hands, if three people keep both hands upon the orb, the genie will be summoned.
With the data from Google, the NSA, you name it. So Trump didn't just sign a deal for $350 billion over the next decade. The first tranche, $105 billion, to be paid out in the next year by Saudi Arabia and the United States in an arms deal. He transferred to them linkage into a threat fusion center, the biggest in the world.
Well, I mean, how many threat fusion centers are there? I mean, I know of a couple of places in New Orleans and San Francisco and New York where you can get into some jazz fusion, but threat fusions? Well, no. And besides, he used the word tranche, goddammit, and you don't just get to throw around the word tranche unless you got some serious real-time paranoid shit to be talking about tranching. Wonder if you can tranche the Ponerize. Yeah, I know, Marty. they'll see the big board. Gentlemen, I've never seen such behavior. You can't fight in here. Such fighting in the war room. Dr. Strangelove actually exists as a prophetic map to the second decade and part of the first of the 21st century. Kind of makes you wish old Stanley Kubrick was still around. He could have told us that oh, yeah, I mean, I meant to do that. Absolutely. The Palantir, like from The Lord of the Rings, so Sauron's watching? Well, yeah. That's real, too. Elves, fairies, pixies, talking trees. There's no end to the stuff that can be real if you're
Alex Jones.
That's been publicly shown. They won't show the NSA and FBI threat fusion centers. They won't show the CIA ones either. But they showed this giant center, and I covered it earlier tonight. It's on Infowars.com.
Of course it is.
So they're transferred the weapons. They're transferred the technology. They're transferred access into the surveillance grid. Mm-hmm. And less than 24 hours after President Trump finishes that speech,
right,
a big bomb goes off at a pop star's rock concert.
Son of a bitch.
A bunch of liberal trendies. The same people, God love them, on average, who are promoting
I should have popped
borders,
popcorn.
Bringing Islamists to stand. Trump's been blocking that and saying, you don't come here from unvetted countries. And Saudi Arabia, many elements of the...
No, he is. He's liquored up. He doesn't seem to realize that there's an injunction in place against Trump's Muslim ban 2-point derp. But, you know, there is.
Yeah, he's blocking people coming from Muslim countries. And
well, except the ones that he does business with, Alex. Mm-hmm. It's only fair to tell you that this clip goes on for a somewhat hallucinogenic entirety of 17 minutes. And I am not going to subject either you or I to that much madness, lest our brains start to leaking out of our ears. Captain, it was terrible. They put things in our ears. Obligatory Star Trek reference. But I will note that a little ways further into the clip,
Alex Jones
offers up a critique of the people who got blown up by the bomb in Manchester last night. Oh, no, come on, Hoghead. Alex Jones makes Art Bell look sane. But, no, Alex...
Alex...
He didn't play the false flag card that we could all be forgiven if we expected him to play.
False flag. Those are crisis actors, those blown-up children, just like the crisis actors in Sandy Hook.
Right? Well, as you can hear, he tries to create a connection between Marcus Aurelius's trip to Saudi Arabia, complete with the orb, and the goofy look on his face when he was doing the sword dance and the side eyes from King Solomon and whatnot. We talked about all that last night. And then he said,
and less than 24 hours after President Trump finishes that speech, a big bomb goes off at a pop star's rock concert.
You heard that.
Bombing a bunch of liberal trendies. The same people, God love them, on average, who are promoting open borders, bringing Islamists in. There's Trump. He's coming with an olive branch, trying to get Saudi Arabia to work with him. And their response is what we just saw. Whether it's the government, whether it's the king doing it, the big issue here, the thing we have to focus on and face is that this is what's coming out of Saudi Arabia one way or the other. And this is a response a day later is to blow up a bunch of trendies, T-R-E-N-D-I-E-S, a bunch of trendies who've already run a white flag up to the black flag of Wahhabism, a bunch of liberals who are already run up the white flag to the Islamists, and this happens.
Yes, Gerald, that clip does go on for 17 minutes. True, wait a minute, true. Gerald noting, well, you gotta fill the airtime between the gold commercials somehow, I guess. 17 minutes. 17 minutes can be a very, very long time in radio. Especially if all you have is you crazy shit. Now, by the way, Brain, we've got a note for you from Brother Deacon Asa. If Brain mans up and decides to start calling in, it'll be Circus Maximus. Man up! I didn't say that. I don't want you to call in, Brain. Because I'm letting you steal exactly 50 times as much of my life as you're worth. So, just, that's Asa, not me. Yep, 17 minutes. 17 minutes of referring to little blown-up prepubescent girl children as liberal trendies. Yep. Steve in New York pointing out, subject line Alex Jones, I'm sorry, but this is among the most nutballish things I've ever heard. Do you have any idea what he thinks he's saying? I can't even get the crazy on crazy terms. Well, you're not listening enough, because you haven't heard him say tranche enough. Because, see, when he uses tranche, it makes it sound like he really knows something super cyber secrety, secret squirrely stuff. And, yes, Marty points out, isn't it rather close to a general election in the UK and the May government's looking to take a major hit? This is why I doubt IS is truly responsible for Manchester. I don't think the British would blow themselves up. I don't. As Matt Tastic in the chat room points out, tween girls, the types who are Ariana Grande fans, notorious for their liberal political activities. Yeah, I know. And look, Alex Jones and his ilk are sickening predators. Because this, I mean, we can agree on that, can't we? This kind of stuff is predatory conduct. This is using it because he does. He sells shit. He's a hustler. And this is attempting to work some his attempt to work some capitalism on the backs of little blown up girls. And in I'll get that in a minute. Longer email, separate topic from Ron and Raleigh. You know, last night as the story was breaking on air, I said very little about it. Because there was so little to say. And the fact is, even 24 hours later, there still isn't much to say. And what there is to say is sad. And of what there is to say that's conclusive, the only conclusive knowledge that we have about what happened in Manchester last night is that a number of excited little girls, mostly women, teenagers, were murdered and maimed. Murdered and maimed. For some vague but certainly homicidal political purpose. The guy who did it blew himself up in the process, so we can't know much in the way of direct evidence about his personal motivations. Don't know what'll come out of the interrogation of the guy that they arrested. But something that I didn't see mentioned or hear mentioned anywhere is this. The bomb, the guy, the murderer, the creep, the vicious thug who did what he did, who murdered little girls and teenagers and maimed scores of others, waited until the concert was over and the lights were up. That strike anybody as odd? Now, I'll tell you that Ferg and I were, today's Ferg's day off, and had to go get a couple of things. And so he and I were riding along. I said, so let me hear some of Ariana Grande's music. Because I didn't bother to listen last night. I just, you know, no. He said, you sure, Dad? I said, yeah. I said, let me guess. She's another one of those female pop stars who sounds like she's 4 years old. Got a voice, sounds like she's 4 years old. He said, well, you be the judge. And he put on one of her popular tracks. I have no idea what the title of it was. If I go full on into my geezerhood, I have no idea mostly of what she was even singing. There was apparently a sort of phony baloney reggae beat to it, sorta. But I heard it, and I could, and I remembered having little tween daughters myself. Our first tween became a tween at the time when the Spice Girls were big. And Lord God, she would have crawled across ground glass to get to a Spice Girls concert, although I was, and her mother and I were both kind of dismayed by the idea of a, you know, 9-year-old running around singing, if you want to be my lover. But it's what all the cool tweens were listening to there at the elementary school. never mind. So, all that having been said, and facts being few and far between to come by, one of the few things that I could actually determine to be undisputed was that this asshole waited until the concert was over before he detonated his device. I don't know if he detonated it before the lights came up or after the lights came up. The videos that I saw simply showed the arena with the lights up and people running in terror. But all the reports said that he detonated the device after Ariana Grande had finished her performance and presumably even left the stage. So, what we can know from that, you know, the asshole had apparently had to buy a ticket. And we know that he was apparently damned well going to get his money's worth before he committed murder, maiming, and mayhem. He wanted to finish watching the little pop star with the kitty cat ears before he went and got his 72 virgins. Religions. Shit. And that stayed with me. That was nuts. That was vicious. So does the fact that he waited until Ariana Grande was off stage meant, does that mean that he, while he wanted to kill the infidel, he didn't want to kill that particular infidel? Did he have one finger on the trigger and the other down his pants during the concert? Jesus. So, I mean, you know, he hates the West, but he loves him some Ariana Grande. Who can't, she was supposed to do two more shows in the UK and who has canceled the rest of her tour. Put out a tweet. She's like the I had no idea. She's like the second most popular account on Instagram. And she tweeted out the word broken. And you know what? She probably is. I don't question her sincerity. It would be an awful thing to know. Even more awful to realize that if she just kept singing all night, sort of like a pop equivalent of that that movie from years gone by, Speed, where they have to keep driving along on the bus or the bomb blows up. If she just kept singing, he wouldn't have detonated the bomb because he was into it. And there's something in there worthy of worthy of some analysis. Cost the bomber money to get in. Capitalism, you know. So he wanted to make sure he got his money's worth before he murdered a bunch of little girls. Wow. Yeah. So that brings us up to about 12 minutes past the hour. I'll end the filibobster right there. If you want, you can join in the conversation in a little bit. We've got somebody on hold at the moment. We're going to take a quick break. We've still got $15 to go on Ralph's challenge. It'll take us down to $308 to go in fundraising this evening. It would be very nice to wipe out the fundraising goal this evening so we don't have some sort of $500 hole for prayer meeting Wednesday, because it never works when I block the doors. People just pee on the carpet. $15 to go on that, and then $308 to go beyond it. Take a little break, and it being a Tuesday, this being the 23rd of May, the final full week of the month of May, well, we've got the Green News Report coming up, okay? This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit lure. Mr. Beer belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Now that my role model is gone. He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, there were incidents and accidents and allegations. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call.
It's Tuesday, May 23, 2017.
Apparently, even the most advanced apocalypse bunkers aren't safe from climate change.
Global seed vault flooded by melting permafrost. Antarctica is going green and not in a good way. Plus, Trump's final budget proposal takes a hatchet to the environment.
All of that slashing and burning straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Trump gave another commencement speech, this time at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy.
I've loosened up the strangling environmental chains wrapped around our country and our economy.
Yes, he's loosened the strangling environmental chains around America, especially those chains about global warming, which is good news for the Coast Guard, because soon they'll be able to patrol the coast of Kansas.
Semper Paratus, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, we are just getting details now, but the White House has put forward its final budget proposal to Congress, and boy, oh boy, does the EPA get slashed and burnt.
Yep. President Trump's final budget proposal, released on Tuesday, as expected, saves its biggest cuts for the research and enforcement budget of the Environmental Protection Agency. It cuts the agency's budget by 31%, eliminates more than 3,000 EPA staff jobs, that's about 20% of its workforce, and eliminates 50 climate research programs. The budget slashes funding for Superfund cleanup sites and proposes selling half of the oil in the nation's strategic petroleum reserve to raise revenue. Now, that's a proposal that's likely to get very strong bipartisan resistance from Congress, because most of them say that that kind of move would threaten national security.
Yeah, it sure would. He wants to sell off half of the strategic oil. I mean, this is what we use in the event of an attack and in the event that we can't.
In times of war and in times of natural disaster.
So he wants to sell that off, and I suspect at some point we'll have to start filling it up and buying that oil at higher prices, perhaps, than we bought it for in the first place.
He also intends to open up the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge for drilling. And he has additional cuts to the Department of Energy and the Interior Department.
Interestingly, at the Department of Energy, they actually get a cut of 5.5%. But the Department of Energy gets a boost on the programs that have to do with militarizing nuclear science. But then it cuts the rest of the department's budget, which includes programs like energy research and development, national laboratories, and radioactive waste disposal. That just days after we had that near catastrophe up in Washington State at the Hanford nuclear site, where they store radioactive waste, and one of the tunnels actually crumbled and collapsed. And yet we're cutting that program. It's madness.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but luckily this is not the final word. Congress will still have quite a bit of say in what the actual final budget will look like.
Indeed, they actually write their budget from scratch, but, you know, the president has the ability to veto whatever Congress sends them. So we may be in for a fight, and it won't be a pretty one.
Melting permafrost at the North Pole last fall ominously flooded an entrance to the global seed vault in Svalbard, Norway. That's the subterranean vault that contains more than 500 million seeds intended to recreate humanity's food supply in case of disaster, like global warming. In a story just made public this week, unseasonably warm temperatures and heavy rains last fall caused water to breach one of the tunnel entrances to the so-called Doomsday Vault. Although officials say the seeds were never in any danger, they say they're taking no chances now and are building new protective measures. Antarctica is going green, literally, and not in a good way. Although plants are still scarce at the South Pole, in the past 50 years, the quantity and rate of growth of plants has shot up sharply. That's according to a new study, where scientists used core samples taken from the banks of moss around the Antarctic Peninsula. They say that shows the rate of moss growth at the South Pole is now 4 to 5 times higher than it was in the 1950s, thanks to retreating glaciers opening up new ice-free ground and Antarctica's rapidly warming climate.
Global warming is a hoax. I don't know how many times I have to explain this to you. Never mind the evidence everywhere you look.
Finally, some good news.
Oh, well, take your time.
Switzerland has voted to accelerate their country's transition to renewable electricity in a binding referendum vote on Sunday. 58% of the Swiss voted to add a surcharge of about $50 a year to their electric bills to subsidize and speed up deployment of wind and solar energy projects and to modernize their electric grid.
I am so moving to Switzerland. For much more on those stories and the ones we couldn't fit into today's Green News Report, please stop by our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide while you still can on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, Switzerland, I never thought I'd have you as a friend. I'm praying it was not at all pretend. I need you now to help pick me up from the ground. Oh, Switzerland, you've taken away my breath now.
Well, Brad and Desi have outdone themselves. I had no idea there was a song about Switzerland. Had it been me, I would have bumped out with that the only rock and roll song involving yodeling, and I can't even remember the name of that one, but there's a lot of yodeling. Okay, a couple of quick corrections. Hoghead pointing out in the chat room that I was wrong, and I was. I had this mental image of this asshole standing there through the whole concert, just, you know, moving to the reggae beat, and then, well, she's gone. Click. No, per CBS News, Hoghead says the bomber entered the lobby of the building after the show, when people were exiting and when security forces were relaxed, nobody screamed to exit. Doesn't make matters any better, but, well, I guess there was a reason I was the only one who thought of that. Oops. We regret the error. Sorry. And for anybody who's having problems with the stream, I apologize. I don't know when or how or if we're going to get this thing sorted out. I just don't know. And we remain static at $15 to go to meet Ralph's challenge to take us down to $308 to go fundraising for this evening. I hate mentioning that so much. It would be very nice if I could just shut up about it. And I would, gladly, and just go on with the program. It has been a very, very long time since we've heard from our buddy Jim, for reasons that that maybe he will or will not explain. But we got Jim with us. Hey, Jim.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I'm percolating along, you know, just going from one thing to the other. And that's about it. I have had some health problems and trying to resolve those and, you know, pursuant to the fact that you and I talked privately a couple of weeks ago. But we'll just see what happens. That's all you can do.
You buy your ticket, you take the ride, right?
I'm afraid that is it, absolutely. But, you know, I'm not even on my laptop right now because I just sort of, I didn't feel like going through all that stuff, and I'm back in my inner sanctum under the covers, and I have Rufus Katitis on top of me right now. He heard your voice, and he said, I haven't heard him in a long time.
Well, howdy, Rufus. Yeah. I heard Rufus in the background there.
Yeah, Rufus has been through, well, he's been through quite a period of not having me with him, but we're reunited and happily so, and that's about it. So, you know, these things happen in life when you get, under the weather, for lack of a better term, and you just hope the things will get better. That's all you can do. That's enough about me. You know, it's been 7 months since we talked.
It has been. It has been. It's been 7 months since the Horn Family Community Congregation has heard from you.
Really? Yeah, sure. Well, hello, Horn Family Congregation. I just wanted to give.
Well, it was shortly, like I told you, it was shortly before the election, and I rather assumed that you had just sort of pulled the covers over your head and were preferring not to, you know. You were in fact going all Scarlett O'Hara, and I'll worry about it tomorrow, if you know what I mean.
No, I do, but no. I mean, you're right as far as pulling the covers over my head. But you know, I fully expected that idiot to win, and we talked about that before. I think the last time we talked was when he had that scandal about women and stuff like that, some other guy, I don't know where it was, but, and you said, well, hell, that'll probably give him a little edge up in the eyes of so many people who want to vote for him because he's so macho, you know.
Well, and then the Trumpansies were sitting at home saying, God damn, I wish I could grab them by the, you know, I'd just do that every day, all day. Eat a couple of Tic Tacs, and there you go.
There you go, absolutely. And I don't know. First, as far as what you were referencing earlier, the thing in Manchester, that's very, very bad. And I can see why he did what he did, because he wanted to get the maximum effect for his bomb. And I think it was detonated in the metro station outside the arena.
Was that what it was? I saw a video shot by somebody sitting in their car, and you just saw a flash off in the corner, and you heard the rumble of a boom, and whoever it was sitting in the car just said, oh, no.
Yeah, I saw that, too, on TV. That's about all they have for right now, I'm sure. I don't know. I'm sure in Manchester, they have a number of cameras situated in the metro and other places. And maybe more will come out later. Who knows? But I think that's what he did. You know, like your friend who called in or emailed you, that the reason he did what he did was because he wanted to get the maximum effect from that particular device, and that will be upon exit when people were, like, crowded out. There was no security, and, you know, there it is. And that's what these folks do. And
Jim, what are we going to do when the neo-Nazis here at home stop shooting themselves and actually start managing to successfully make bombs on a sort of an industrial scale?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even want to think about that. Hell, I'm still concerned with what they did 70 years ago. You know, with some of the stuff they pulled off, and I'm afraid it's going to happen once again, you know? And, of course, that's just a point that I have thought about from time to time. But as of late, has not dwelled upon it. And who knows what these people are going to do. I mean, if you told me a year ago that Donald Trump would be in the White House, I would have said, you have lost your bloody mind. And, of course, you see what's happened. And, you know, in a way, maybe it's turned out for the better. Because with people like Trump in the White House and his fellow travelers, I mean, he could be the best friend the Democratic Party's ever had.
Well, if the Democratic Party can get out of its own way, yes.
Well, I think they will. I think he's going to force them to, actually. And I'm not sure how far impeachment proceedings can go against this president, but, well, we'll see. But, you know, I predicted that he would win, but I also predict that he will not finish his first term. I don't think he will.
God knows, and I hope you're right.
There are so many things that have happened while he has been merrily abroad with his daughter wife. You know, when he's going to come back to D.C., he's going to come back to a lot of stuff that he didn't want to listen to or hear. I did, you know, as far as this general, what's his name, the one who's the subject of so much?
Flynn.
Yeah, in like Flynn and out like whomever. But nonetheless, even Chris Christie had told him, he said, I wouldn't let that guy near the White House, much less give him a job. So I guess he and Trump are exactly seeing things the same way. I haven't heard too much from Christie. But he was, did he actually head the transition team? Or
briefly, until he was pushed out, I guess, by Jared and Ivanka.
Oh, yeah, that's a strange thing. That, you know, he's got his daughter and his son-in-law with offices in the White House. You know, that's just kind of strange.
Well, it's not strange for a third world despot.
No.
Which is what he wants to be. You know, he went to Saudi Arabia and they projected his face a million times normal size on the side of a building. And that just must have suited him right down to the ground.
And nobody could protest and put up a sign or a placard, because let's face it, if anyone had done that, they would be losing their head, because, you know, if you do that kind of stuff in Saudi Arabia, then you can have your arms, feet, or any part of your anatomy, including your head, removed from your body, and that's the way they deal with stuff like that. So, not unnaturally, he had a great audience with no protests or anything like that. And, you know, Donald Trump he can't brook any type of criticism easily whatsoever. You know, and Donald Trump is the kind of person who has always gotten his way, one way or the other. As a businessman, he was totally, totally an asshole. He hurt a lot of people. And let me put it this way. I'm not going to get anything about this guy with the strange blonde hair. But, you know, if these people who are working with him feel that Donald Trump is going to be at their back, good luck, because the only back he's ever been at in his entire life is his own, and that's part of his big ass that looks like one of the Kardashians.
Well, let me ask you something, Jim. You have opined on this program over the many years that we've been talking.
Lord, yes.
And have displayed what I consider to be a somewhat encyclopedic knowledge of Russian history and culture.
Well, thank you. I don't know how encyclopedic it's been, but I appreciate it.
Well, it's obvious that you have spent a considerable amount of time studying them.
It is. Yeah, I have.
One of the things that you missed in your 7 month with the covers over your head, for lack of going into greater detail, is the meltdown on the so-called left in the U.S. at the idea that the Russian government, at the behest of Vladimir Putin, would have deigned to try to engage in some shenanigans relating to influencing the trends or outcome of the recent election. And the line of argument goes that Russia is not our enemy. They would never meddle in our internal affairs.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Would you care to take that ball and just run with it for a little bit?
Well, they're going to have Putin and his strategy and his position. They're going to always try to meddle in our affairs. As you know, ever since that whole government over there was established, and you could go all the way back to the revolution of 1917, the second revolution, but nonetheless, Russia has not been our friend, except for that brief period when, you know, Stalin had to realize that he had been made a fool of by Hitler, but nonetheless, there you go. But no, it doesn't surprise me at all that people could be taken in by something like that, but Mr. Putin has not done anything to help this country, and everything he does, particularly supporting Donald Trump and interfering with elections, because that's I think that's what it has happened. He's going to enlarge his own influence in Europe and in this country, and he's got a lot of very skilled people who are working at their computers to enact cyber terrorism and things of that nature. But no, anything.
Well, I mean, Putin would not have under any circumstances wanted Hillary Clinton in the White House.
Oh no,
is that a safe statement?
Yeah, because he hated her because she said he was nothing but a murderer, and basically that's what he is. I mean, if you look at his background, he got started. Well, you know, his grandparents were actual servants, personal servants or retainers in Lenin's household.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it earlier. Yeah, they were. And so he has a definite connection there to the founder of the Soviet state.
But he is not, by any stretch of the imagination, anything you or I would recognize as a leftist or a communist, is he?
No, but he's anything that will... Let me tell you, he's anything that he would care to be without label to enhance his own strategy.
From an autocratic standpoint, he adopts the St. Paul approach, be all things to all people?
Yeah, essentially. And basically what he's trying to do, and I think what he would like to do, is to reestablish what was torn down in 1991 when the Soviet Union fell apart. I think that's basically what he would like to have happen. Because you remember, when that happened, he was like a 05 or Lieutenant Colonel of the KGB in Dresden, and that whole building was surrounded where he was in charge of the KGB headquarters of that city. And there wasn't anybody there except him, and he was the one who just closed the door of the KGB headquarters and told him, he said, you know, we're closed temporarily. And I don't think he's ever forgotten having had to do that. And he's been very angry about that whole thing. And so maybe he's approaching his own goal a different way.
Well, it would inure to the benefit of Putin's, and I think we can use the word dictatorship and not be engaging in hyperbole. It would inure to the benefit of Putin's dictatorship to cast the division or sow dissension between what has been, up until now, a pretty solid alliance between Western Europe and the United States standing against what was once the Warsaw Pact, you know, the Eastern Bloc.
Well, he still wants to do that. He wants to cause as much trouble between this country and Western Europe as he possibly can, or any way he can do it. But this time he's doing it in such a way that to infiltrate financial systems, computer systems, gaining influence over members of the government. You know, these Russian people, like our own, I mean, when you get into this business of tradecraft with secret organizations, they're going to go every way you possibly can to obtain any type of influence in the government that you oppose. I mean, whether it's bribery, whether it's blackmail, or whether it's cyber terrorism, or whether it is by any means at their disposal, they don't care. To them, the end totally justifies the means. And, of course, when they got into this business of getting Trump put in there, that's exactly what he wanted. Because, number one, he hated Hillary Clinton, but his agenda is much greater than that, because Trump is subscribing to it.
Okay, so another one of the things that we missed out on during your absence, or we haven't talked about, is the allegation in the dossier that Trump participated in what is just shorthandedly referred to, well, maybe small-fingeredly referred to, as a golden showers party in the presidential suite of a hotel in Moscow.
That's what I've heard, yeah, absolutely. And it's supposedly Putin has all that old tape and really...
Well, I mean, the nice, sweet, friendly Russians would never, like, you know, bug or surveil a hotel room of a kinky, filthy-minded, wealthy American businessman, would they? I mean, they'd never do that.
My God, they surveilled everything and have for years. I mean, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, look what
they can't help themselves, can they?
Well, look what they did to the American embassy over there. They had to tear the whole damn thing down because it was so full of bugs and listening devices and stuff like that. That was when, back in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, that's their whole mindset, their whole government position is to listen and to see what they can find out about anything or, you know, compromise any person in any situation. Now, whether Trump, I didn't want to think of him. I mean, maybe that's...
No, apparently he paid. Apparently he paid the hookers to pee on the bed where Barack Obama and Michelle Obama slept. While he did whatever it was that the jollies. I mean, just, you know, before people have to start running for the brain bleach, we won't go. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, you know, who wants to think about what his sexual eccentricities are? But nonetheless,
well, whatever they are. Did you see his wife Melanoma slap his hand away in Israel?
No, I didn't.
He saw Bibi Netanyahu holding his wife's hand, and he realized that that's probably what he should be doing with his, because he usually walks about 50 feet in front of her. Mm-hmm. And he reached back to hold her hand, and she just smacked that hand away and kept moving.
Mm-hmm.
And today, getting off the plane in Rome, where in a few hours he'll have a meeting with Pope Frank, he again tried to reach for her hand, and she smacked it away. And then he patted her on the bottom.
Wow.
I personally think Melanoma knows that the world is watching and seeing her doing this stuff. And I told Sandra on Twitter earlier today, I expect her to start blinking in Morse code any day now. Remember, she speaks six languages. Maybe one of them's Morse code.
Who knows? How is Sandra? I haven't heard from her or some of those people. It's been longer than 7 months. How is she?
Oh, she's doing fabulously, and we laugh and yuck it up on Twitter from time to time. And every now and then, she calls the program.
Mm-hmm. And you have some other callers who I can't even remember their names, so. The one who is the lady who has contributed so much to your program, who believes in giving and stuff like that.
Oh, Carol Baker, the giver, yes.
Exactly.
Queen of the Minions.
How is she doing?
Oh, she's well. She's working. She's in and feeds me delightful one-liners from time to any given evening.
She's a delight to listen to. I think she's wonderful. So many other people. And Tracy, the cab driver, how is she?
Well, we heard from Tracy just last night. Millionaire. Yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Up there. Does Harry Mandel still run that thing?
I don't run that thing now.
You know.
I confess, with the exception of my filthy little in the morning, I watch almost no time.
Well, you know, when I first saw that program, and I saw who was, but you know, I don't understand how he contributes anything in the entertainment world. I don't know anything about him. Repugnant, and you know, the way he gets up there is like some James Bond character who won't shake hands with people because he's afraid or whatever. And then he was on. I did see him on this thing on the Animal Planet channel. Called Tank, where these guys set up all these aquaria for very wealthy people. And he was on that, and he was real pleased, as they all are, with the aquarium that had been set up. Well, that's about it. But as far as who is hosting it now, you know, I just never watch that program anymore. And I think basically what I've been watching, other than, you know, MSNBC and BBC and the Animal Channel, that's just been just about it. I've kind of, like a tortoise, have just sort of gone into my shell and retraction my head, arms, and legs, and hope that, you know, things will get a little bit better. I mean, you have
Sometimes, Jim, you have to take the Zen approach and just go wash your rice bowls.
We sure do, absolutely. I mean, because regardless of how I feel or think or anyone else, these things are going to take care of themselves, and hopefully things might get a little better. I don't know. This budget that Trump is proposing is absolutely horrible. And
it's a nightmare, Jim, but you, from where I stand, it seems that with all the controversy and all the problems that he has, I see this budget proposal as throwing some red meat to the hard right wing in order to keep them on his side, because I've maintained the theory all along that if he was murdering people in Lafayette Park, the Republican Congress, the Republican House of Representatives in particular, would refuse to act against him in impeachment, because they have so much to lose by impeaching him. They are in the middle of having, there's a possibility they could achieve their fondest right-wing wet dreams.
I don't think so. I don't think they will. I think that they realize that this guy is taking them for a ride, and they have basically created a golem, and they just don't know what to do with him. And I think ultimately they are going to literally have their guts slashed out by Trump and all of his machinations, because this guy's not going to change. He's not going to listen to any type of sound advice or whatever.
Well, last I checked, what's being deemed a bellwether contest in Georgia, the 6th congressional district, the Democratic nominee, John Ossoff, is up by about 6 or 7 points, which is a couple of points outside the margin of error.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wins that, it will send shock and horror throughout the entirety of the Republican caucus.
I hope it does. And, you know, if that happens, then they're going to realize that they've had their emphasis on the wrong syllable for an awfully long time. And, you know.
But let's recall, please, that is suburban Atlanta, which is not exactly the Deep South writ large. I think the Deep South is still safe for Trump and for the Republican Party.
I don't know about that. I don't think that. I think you might. I hope that you are wrong about that, and I can't.
I would like nothing better than to be wrong about that, Jim.
Well, I haven't talked to many people from the Deep South. I think I haven't even mentioned it to my sister. Of course, we never talk at all. Period. And I think the people in the Deep South are supporting Trump's military budget and all this kind of stuff, but still, you know, eventually some of the stuff is going to really hurt them. And I find it odd in his budget that he is trying to destroy the EPA, well, he has, and he wants to effectively, and the National Endowment for the Arts, and other things which were established by Richard Nixon, another Republican. That's what he wants to do. And he also wants to defund PBS. He wants to defund Planned Parenthood. I mean, you know, he wants to completely destroy the world with his stupid politics that are so short-sighted. And, you know, for the likes of which, to have him as president, you know, I still haven't accepted the fact that he is so-called President Trump. I just have not been able to accept it, nor will I, personally. He's just a very dangerous person and an extremely evil man who has gotten his way, and I put him in the same category as I would Bernard Madoff. I really do.
Well, he's a scam. He's a scam artist, and there is more and more evidence to suggest that he is all mobbed up with the Russian mafia.
Mm-hmm, sure is.
But I saw an article earlier today from a publication called Stat, STAT.
Excuse me.
STAT, and mm-hmm. You know we've had. Oh, psychologists and psychiatrists who say, you know, he's narcissistic personality disorder, yada, yada, yada. But it's really kind of hard to diagnose someone at a distance. But in the case of this article at Stat by Sharon Begley, it's a different sort of animal. They're not asking anybody to psychoanalyze Trump. What they did is they asked cognitive scientists, people who are engaged in neurolinguistics, things like that, to analyze Trump's speech from selected clips from the 1980s, the 1990s, the aughts, and now.
Mm-hmm.
Interviews with people like Tom Brokaw, David Letterman, Oprah Winfrey, Charlie Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And in those, maybe Howard Stern, too, for that matter.
I would love to see Howard Stern interview him.
Oh, my God. That's the thing. He has a couple of times. It was on Howard Stern where Trump said that if Ivanka wasn't his daughter, maybe he'd date her.
Howard Stern has a way of bringing out the very best in people, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And among other things, it was talking to Howard Stern where Trump said that the 80s and 90s were his sexual Vietnam and that he was very lucky not to have contracted any loathsome diseases. I personally.
With Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
I personally think he did contract some loathsome diseases, namely, and that he's in the throes of tertiary syphilis, but that's me.
Well,
and I'm mean.
Could be, you know.
So Stat asked some folks who engage in the sciences of neurolinguistics and cognitive assessment to examine his speech patterns. And they found that in former years, he used linguistic spoken devices that indicate statistically, relevantly, a busy mind. But then the author of this article says, for decades, studies have found that deterioration in the fluency, complexity, and vocabulary level of spontaneous speech can indicate slipping brain function due to normal aging or neurodegenerative disease. The publication Stat and the experts therefore considered only unscripted utterances, not planned speeches and statements, since only the former tap the neural networks that offer a window into brain function. And here's the thing. The upshot, if you read this whole article, and it is somewhat lengthy, well, what they say is that the deterioration of his speech over time could very well be an indication of early dementia.
Could be. Absolutely could be.
And I don't know. At this point, I don't know how early it is.
Oh, dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff like that, they can jump on a person at any age.
And the maturation time for neurosyphilis is around 10 years.
Right. You talk about tertiary syphilis.
Yeah, and once you get into that, there's no cure.
No, I see.
The happy little spirochetes are just going wild inside your brain.
Yeah, they said that Uncle Adolf had may have had that, but then the blood test on him, they said were negative, and who knows what was going on in his mind, other than just being crazy, mean, cruel, stupid, whatever. And, you know, there's just a lot of correlation between those two. Because remember the night that Trump left the or did not attend the White House press corps dinner? He was up in Pennsylvania carrying on. Remember that?
Yeah, what, 3-4 weeks like ago?
And he was using phrases like the New Order.
Oh, his speech patterns are bizarre, and that's that. You know, that's part of the one of the things that's cited. Let's see, of his recent speech, the deteriorated speech. People want the border wall. My base definitely wants the border wall. My base really wants it. You've been at many of the rallies. Okay, the thing they want more than anything is the wall. My base, which is a big base. I think my base is 45%. You know, it's funny. The Democrats, they have a big advantage in the Electoral College. Big, big, big advantage. The Electoral College is very difficult for a Republican to win. And I'll tell you, the people want to see it. They want to see the wall. That ain't okay.
Mm-mm.
And before you and I talked, type that I am, it's like, and I even shared a passage from The Sound and the Fury one night. It's like reading the Benji passages of William Faulkner, you know, the stream of consciousness stuff,
mm-hmm.
told by the idiot, because there's no through line.
No, there isn't. I mean, this guy definitely has something wrong with him. There's no question about that. And, you know, he doesn't care what he does. He doesn't care who he throws under the bus, because I don't think he's really in command of his own faculties as far as any normal human being could be. Because look at it this way. All his life, he has been a complete asshole. And he has hurt so many people on his way up. You know what I'm saying? Financially and every other way. Like I say, he's no better than Bernie Madoff. He really isn't. Except Trump is just trying to hide, and, you know, he's very much afraid that there's some things in his past that are going to come out, and that's one reason they're having such a kerfuffle in D.C. over people who are going to testify. And if they won't testify, they'll get the information out that there's a lot in his past that is extremely unsavory. Now, as far as what his...
Well, we were talking about this last week, I think it was, maybe a week before last. There's a documentary produced by a Dutch television channel. You might want to look it up on YouTube. It's called The Dubious Friends of Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's all mobbed up.
Of course he is. I mean, he used to have grown up and moved from Queens into Manhattan and done all this stuff with his financial empire. Well, he'd have to be hooked up with one of the five families, or all five of the five families. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, to get stuff done.
Exactly.
And plus, you know, he's shit on so many banking relationships. Sooner or later, he's going to wind up doing business with some unsavory characters, which I think is absolutely certain. Hey, Jim,
well,
I got to tell you, it is people are lining up behind you because, among other things, because they've heard you. You got a note from Steve in New York saying, "Say hello to Rupert. I hear him." Rupert's got his own fan club. Yeah,
I'm not on my computer now, so I guess I'm going to have to rig off here, right?
Sadly, yes, because I can only bring on one person at a time. But
I just wanted to listen to like the way we used to sometimes.
Anyway,
I could do that?
If you want to call in on the stress line, 304-663-4676, you might be able to get it that way.
304-663-4676. Okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, and happy Titanic Tuesday.
Well, thank you very kindly. You know, you're the author of that, so you are fondly remembered every Tuesday, Jim.
Okay, good. You take care, and the best to everybody.
All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Jim, and make no mistake about it, Jim just sort of glossed over it. Jim has in the last 7 months been through what I think can only be described as a sojourn in hell. But I wouldn't begin to go any further without his permission. All right, let's check in. Hey, big thanks. Thank you very kindly to Sandra. Thank you, Sandra, for jumping in and finishing off Ralph's $25 challenge. That means we got $308 to go to finish fundraising for the evening. $308. That's a little more than 10 at 30, 30 at 10, 1 at 300, Mr. Soros, 3 at 100, et cetera, in the ciphering, plus the $8. And we got 55-ish minutes to get there so that we're not, you know, so that we don't have to send Lassie to find Timmy and tell him that the horn's down a well tomorrow evening for prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's check in with Scott and Punky in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. Greetings from just east of downtown Oz.
And greetings and hallucinations. Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of those. Although, it's gotten to the point where I can't tell. I cannot make a distinction between the hallucinations and what is actually going on, or appears to be, anyway.
There are times that I wish... The stuff that I'm dealing with were hallucinations.
Yes, Lord. Well, I watched a very distressing yet strangely uplifting documentary last night, or most of it anyway. There was a book by Greg Palast called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
I read it many years ago.
Okay. And I think there was a documentary. Well, apparently, there's been a revision of the documentary, and it's now available on Amazon Prime. And if you weren't scared before, you'll have to be wearing super maximum industrial strength depends by the time that film is over. Because, I don't know, like I said, I've still got about 20 minutes left on it, but about midway through, I kind of said, Jesus, we're screwed. I mean, we're in the Ambassador's Club. Isn't that the old American Airlines?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
We're beyond the Ambassador's Club in terms of having been screwed, unless we're not. See, that's the funny thing. You know, somebody earlier wrote you and said that I'm the eternal optimist or
resident optimist.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the line was when resident optimist Scott turns on the trumpanzees, you know things are getting rough.
Well, that assumes that I've turned. I was never in favor of him to begin with. I, from the very beginning, as a matter of fact, I think I sent you that mock campaign poster with a profile drawing of Trump in red, white, and blue with a shock of hair coming over his face.
Yes.
And it said, Trump 2016, because America needs more bombast, bluster, and bullshit. So I've never been a fan of him. As a matter of fact...
Not of him, but that you have been a little... I think the thrust was that you have been a little bit more, or attempted to be a little bit more understanding and forgiving of the general garden variety freak on the street Trumpansy.
Well, maybe. If nothing else, I can see where they're coming from. But then again, if you're wandering around aimlessly, where you're coming from doesn't make any difference. If you don't know where you've been, you'll have no idea where you're headed. You know? But so anyway, I'm not a Trumpansy. I'm not a Trump supporter.
No. That was never the implication.
Okay.
It is that you are forgiving of, that you take a tolerant approach to, that you try to understand the Trumpansee, mindset?
Well, in life, understanding is the booby prize. I mean, you know, you can be in the realm of experiencing the experience of being alive, or you can understand it. And I tend to think, you know, it's that old thing, do you sell the steak or do you sell the sizzle? Okay? Mm-hmm. And I will go for the actual steak if and when I decide to have a steak, as opposed to a description of how great or how horrible the steak is. And
for the last 3 months or so, I've been living on sizzle. So yeah,
And I'm not much of a praying person, but I do send you, you know, positive healing energy whenever you come to mind that way, and it may do nothing. It may only benefit me, but. See, and this is the thing about Trump. As I sit here watching this cascading collection of madness, you know, Trump and his minions and his supporters for now, okay, I can't help but think that my original estimation is accurate. The only way out of this thing is to go through it, you know, and the entire exercise.
Yeah, my old line of you know, when you're on the rock face, there are two alternatives: climb or die.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the mall sign, you know, when you walk into the mall from the parking lot and you see that colorful, well-lit sign and you look at the map and you know where you want to go in terms of the store, okay? But you can't remember exactly which entrance you came in. And luckily, the people who made the mall map provide a little arrow with the caption, "You are here." Okay? This entire exercise is a constant, ongoing, "You are here" situation. And to the extent that we know where we are, we can maneuver our way to where we want to be. And sometimes the shit has got to get really deep. I mean, to the point where, you know, it's past your belt buckle and steadily rising, okay? But, you know, there is a way out, but unfortunately that way out takes us directly through beautiful downtown "You Are Here," okay?
So In this case, beautiful downtown Shittsville.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's like the politician who goes to hell, okay? The old story about him, and he gets there, and he's up to about mid-chest level in just shit. Everywhere you look, there's, as far as the eye can see, there's shit. And after a couple of days, he sees another politician who happens to have arrived before him. And he says, "Well, you know, all things considered, this is not so bad." But the other politician who's been there a while says, "Yeah, but wait until the devil comes by in his speedboat. Or his jet ski, you know."
Yeah, that's the variation on a theme. The other there's the other joke about you know, and well, it's one of those that's so old that you can just tell the punchline and everybody laughs.
Yeah. I got a
coffee breaks over back on your heads.
Exactly. I've got a friend
wrecked him. Damn near killed him. Yeah.
Exactly. The one that I can't figure out, by the way, and I heard it 40 years ago. And the punchline is, it's in a hospital sort of setting, and the punchline is, "I'm not your father, the bishop is your father." But I have long since forgotten the build-up to it, and I hope somebody can...
Well, I've got another one like that myself. And there was a list of the greatest jokes of all time in an Esquire magazine probably, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was one that my buddies and I just laughed and laughed over, and for something that carried us away so thoroughly, I can't remember the whole joke. But the punchline of it is the Queen of England saying, "Is it a horse's cock?" See, you know it had to be funny. You don't even know the setup, and you laughed at the punchline.
Well, yeah, I mean, any punchline that has the Queen saying, "Is it the horse's cock?" You know it's got to be a hell of a joke. But anyway, that's But anyway, I say all that to say this. For those who have the Amazon Prime subscription, check out the new and improved The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, created by Greg Palas and his band of merry warriors, because it will inspire you, but first it has to scare the shit out of you, or in some cases the fluorescent piss. Okay, but anyway, I you were mentioning earlier some notions about this asshole over in Britain who blew up a bunch of people, including himself, in the at the stadium there in Manchester, okay, and thinking that he was he wanted to wait until the concert was over before detonating everything, because and he was somehow forestalling the impending arrival of himself wherever he goes to find the 72 versions. And I'm thinking, given the demographic of the audience, and I don't mean to be kinky here, but in a real way, he was surrounded by as many virgins as he could possibly manhandle, okay? If they're young little girls and little boys.
Yeah.
We don't know what he was into. But, so, I mean, this tells me a couple of things. First of all, he's probably a pretty good bomb maker, or had somebody to do it for him. And the other thing it tells me is he has no social skills to speak of. Because I've said for a long time, everything we do in life, somewhere if you dig down and look for the motivation, it's to get laid, okay? And, you know, if the object of his exercise in this world or the next was to get laid, then he might have just chilled out a little fucking bit, turned the device off, and started a conversation with some of the other people in the venue.
Well, I get that, and I understand, but you've also got to take into account that there's a level of sexual repression there that makes American Calvinistic sexual repression look downright libertine.
Oh, I know.
Oh, by the way, but I gotta tell you, I found the joke.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Now, is this the horse?
Ah!
Or the bishop is the father? Okay.
So, Kate Middleton and the Queen are playing 20 questions, and Kate Middleton is frustrated because the Queen always wins at 20 questions. But this time, Kate is absolutely determined that she will win. So she tries to come up with something absolutely out there that the Queen will never guess. And so she, on her piece of paper, she writes down the words, a horse's cock. And she turns the paper over, looks at her mother-in-law, and says, let's begin, Your Highness. And the Queen begins with question one and says, can one eat it? And Kate Middleton looks at her and says, well, yes, I suppose one can. And the Queen says, is it a horse's cock? Sorry. Just. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him. Rat, R-A-T, rat. Great big goddamn rat with a dick this big. Yeah.
Wrecked him, damn near killed him. My dad used to love that joke.
Oh, the first time I told my dad the rat, R-A-T, rat, great big goddamn rat with a dick this big, he about fell out of his chair.
Jeez.
It's just it's just such a beautiful non sequitur. But little Johnny jokes, I could I could go forever.
I don't know that where else to go from here.
I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic. Obviously, I remain uninsured. And I go and pay $100 a pop for a a walk in with the general practitioner, and he says, "Well, I see you've lost a lot of weight." I said, "Not eating a hunch." He said, "Well, it seems to be work." And I'm longer diabetic. I have.
Well, see, there's your silver lining, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And of late, I have been engaging in a whole, because among things that have transpired in this, that the acre has gotten the acre around the mansion has gotten completely out of hand. And so over the last few days, I've been firing up the weed eater and steadily marching through it. And it's going to be, I'll be a long time finishing, but I'm getting really good physical exercise. Staying hydrated. And
I thought you were going to say staying high. Well, maybe there's
I wish
going on too.
I wish. Gaining a big sense of accomplishment, and I think big things are going to happen around the mansion in the next few months, in terms of just, you know, making things generally better, and doing some tree trimming and tree pruning, you know, brush cutting, and there will probably be a big fire at some point, intentionally, you know, big bonfire of
pyromaniacs from all over.
Yeah, of cut brush.
There you go.
We'll get the brush fire going and get out the marshmallows and a couple of pointed sticks. And being very, very careful about the poison ivy because it seems to be everywhere.
Yeah. Well, your medical and health situation and insurance situation leads me to wonder, what do you think about this proposed budget in the sense that, you know, as I was saying with Greg Palast's documentary, midway through, I'm thinking, God, we're all screwed. We got the gold-plated, you've been screwed button, you know? How much of that do you think is remotely passable, okay? And where do you think it's going to leave us, and how does it play out in terms of the Trumpistas, the Trump chumps, as I call them.
I am a confirmed cynic. Where this much waited for, much anticipated turnaround of the Trumpansie voter is concerned. I think Trump could personally come to a place like West Virginia and stomp on one of his voters' sainted granny's feet, and the Trumpansie would say, "Well, you're my president. You need to stomp her some more."
Well, I wasn't thinking in terms of any of them turning around or having a road to Damascus sort of conversion. I'm thinking about, at some point, depending on how much of this shit they get put into law, sooner or later, some of it's going to fall on some of those folks, you know, and that will at least, I would hope, give them pause to say, "No, wait a minute. Maybe they're not converted, but at least their minds are going in the direction of saying."
Yeah, see that. Well, see that's where you earn the title of the Horns resident optimist, and I remain Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. Because I don't think anything will turn them away or turn them around.
But I come by it honestly, because you've got to look at how we ended up with Trump getting to be elected, at least with the electoral vote. Okay, had Hillary not been running, okay, do you honestly think for a minute that he would have been in any position to get elected? I mean, if he's nothing else, he's an opportunist.
That's a speculative question, because then you have to ask who would the nominee have been. I supported Bernie. I voted for Bernie. I advocated for Bernie. I've got an, you know, you were listening. I've got an archive of how strenuously I advocated for Bernie. I remember before the California primary when I begged the voters of California to save us, you know, save us, California. You're our only hope.
And I tried to be personally, just to digress. A year ago in March, I stood in a horrendous line for like 3.5-4 hours to get into the convention center to see Bernie, okay? So I was a Bernie fan from the word go. So I was I'm right there with you as far as that goes.
I don't think Bernie would have been because your hypothetical begins, Scott, with had Hillary not run at all. I think if Hillary doesn't run at all, Bernie doesn't run.
Well, yeah, because he was...
I think if Hillary doesn't run, then Bernie doesn't run. And maybe under those circumstances, Biden runs. When I think back to how Biden handled Paul Ryan in the vice presidential debate, I think it would have... I don't know. Maybe Biden would have won. But then again, there's that dynamic that says that no. America was just eaten from the inside out with economic anxiety, which, of course, we know is a fig leaf and dog whistle code for any number of vile, racist, bigoted, homophobic, transphobic, etc., every nasty thing in America. Maybe if you riffle through all the alternative universes that are laying like pages against one another, maybe Trump gets to be president in all of them, because this country is so mired in its own hatreds and its own insecurities and its own repressions and oppressions.
As true as that could be, Bob, I kind of think that Trump is just another version, in a sense, in terms of the result of getting elected. He's another version of Obama. Because you look back at where we were in 2007 and then later in 2008, you know, when the shit really hit the fan with the economic system, and the fact that we had 8 years of Bush and Cheney, it turns the old Chinese proverb on its head. The old Chinese proverb says, give me one dragon that I know. You know, I'd rather have one dragon that I know than seven dragons that I don't know. Well, in 2016, America, at least in terms of electoral vote, chose the dragon we didn't know. Okay. And I think it was a moment in time where the people overcorrected, and that wasn't their intention to overcorrect. Their intention was to be mad and to take it out on the country and the world. All right, that's my sense of it.
I think there was an element of that in it. Sometimes. And this is going to sound nuts, but we're talking about a situation that is certifiably insane. Sometimes, if you're just standing there holding a brick, you wonder, wonder how much this would hurt if I dropped it on my foot. And America asked itself that question, and a number about 3 million people less than the person who won the popular vote said, let's drop the brick and find out. Only one way to know. And now we're there. And I get up every morning and engage in my filthy little habit, and I watch Squint and the Meat Puppet. And I try not to scream. But this morning, when Mika the Meat Puppet started into opining about how she and Squint tried to warn Donald Trump that he had to be his own man and that he had to control himself. I thought, you know, you two are going, if they ever start giving out the tumbril rods, y'all are going to get one. Because the fact of the matter is, I watch it every morning. It's you know, for reasons that I've explained. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. And I see them say these things, and I keep saying, when are you fuckers going to apologize? When are you going to apologize to the nation for all the free publicity you gave him, for the fawning that you did, for the open mic stuff that you were caught on, saying, okay, Mika, no hard questions?
Well, they'll be in line right behind Les Moonves. You remember that?
I mean, believe me, there. I got a list. Yeah, Donald Trump may not be good for America, but he's great for CBS.
Yeah, and even the voters who voted for the demented circus peanut, aka Donald Trump, even they made the made the choice. Okay, as the media and news folks did, they chose ratings and entertainment factor and sense of twisted adventure over the good of the country.
Right, I mean, and let's be clear about something, Scott. They're still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, the MSNBC's ratings are higher than they've ever been before.
Yeah, I think I heard Rachel is now number one in the evening.
And probably, I think, Squint and the Meat Puppet are rocketing up there. And they're doing it by being opposed and critical of Trump. If he was wildly popular, you know what it would be every morning, Scott? It would be Squint and the Meat Puppet with their noses so far up Trump's ass that you could see their smiling faces when he yawns. He'd be on the phone with them every morning. Because capitalism.
Well, the act that they're perpetrating on America and the world, I forget which Marx Brothers movie it was, but it was the one where Groucho is the president or a professor or something at a college.
Ah, the Professor Quackenbush.
Okay, and there's a song that he sings.
Whatever you're for, yeah. I'm against it.
Exactly. That's where the media is, okay? Except they're not. They're going with the prevailing notion of the time, not that there's any inherent good to the prevailing notion of the time, but how does it play out for me and my bottom line and that of my corporate masters? I mean, that's what that's about, okay? And I actually, some months ago, about 2 months into, or a month and a half into Trump's reign, as it were, which it looks like the clouds are not quite as thick as they were. That thing's going to be over, like Jim said earlier. I don't think he's going to make it. Jim said he's not going to make it through his first term. I don't think he's going to make it through his first year or 18 months at the outside. But that's just me. I'm the relentless optimist or whatever. But I found a better thing to watch in the morning, 4 a.m. my time, 7 a.m. your time, on MeTV, reruns of 77 Sunset Strip. Insanely more edifying than anything Mika and Joe Scarborough have.
Yeah, but I don't get... Is MeTV on DirecTV now?
No, it's...
Yeah, I didn't think so.
It's like a sub-channel on an over-the-air channel. I'll look up where it's available.
I still want to finish watching the episode I saw in the doctor's office one day of The Rifleman, where he went up into the gold country, and there was a bunch of Eastern European miners in obviously funny Eastern European hats, and I still don't know what happened. It bothers me, obviously,
Do you remember any of the actors who were in it?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, Chuck Connors.
Well, outside of the stars.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, of course not. I mean, I was sitting in the surgeon's office. And,
All right, I'll see if I can sort that out.
Somebody sent me an email about it at the time, but I've never caught the episode. Hey, Scott, I got to run along here. Other people have been ringing in, and I want to make sure folks get a shot.
Okay. Well, you take care, Bob, and hang in there. It's going to be better, but it may have to get slightly worse before it gets better.
When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. Take care, Scott.
All right. See
Bye
ya.
Now. The one and only Scott and Punky, his boss, in San Diego. Thank you very kindly to Steve in New York. There's a $25 challenge, another one on the table here with 25 minutes left in the program to try to get us down to that. That would get us down to $258 to go in fundraising so that we wouldn't have quite so terrifying a fundraising goal. Thank you very much to everyone who's kicked in this evening. There's another $25 challenge on the table. And, you know, if we just took down the whole 308, that would be awesome. I like it when we don't have to sweat, you know, holes to fill in. By the way, Robert in Australia says, regarding 72 virgins, from the BBC radio series Old Harry's Game with Andy Hamilton playing the devil, he comments at one point, "I don't understand the whole 72 virgins bit. Wouldn't 72 experienced women be more fun?" Well, yeah, but that's the it's a function of the repressiveness and the obsession with seed passing that goes with, I mean, that's the hang up with virginity. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned. Hey, it's Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Todd. Oh, Todd.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm good, you?
Yeah, man. Look, before I get to anything political, as I want to do. So, it's been raining here, and I couldn't look at that Kaneka any longer before I cooked it. So.
Yes, yes, there's a report.
There's a report, and I mean, this is like minutes old. I'm very excited. And you know me, I don't fucking lie. I don't have to make shit up.
No.
So, you know, it's been raining, so I have a cast iron pan that has the raised ridges, more raised ridges, that's redundant, ridges on it.
Yeah, a grill pan. I've got one.
You know what I'm talking about. So you get marks on the meat. Right. So you can simulate outside because when it drips, it smokes. And, you know, it's nice and cool out, unbelievably. Got the windows open. And as soon as that sausage started to get hot, I was like, oh, shit. I got excited.
Bob was not lying.
No, you were not fucking with me, man. I'm telling you. And you were like, get the, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to do what Bob said. All right, I'm going to get the Cajun. All right. So I got the Cajun. I could smell the goddamn cayenne when it started. I was like, oh, in other words, what I'm trying to say, this is like, if I could make cake sausage at home, but I can make new sausage, but if I can make cake sausage at home, this is exactly like what you would make at home. If you could do it, like if you were in like circa 1923 or some shit, you know, when you see the people in the,
had an old ramshackle wooden smokehouse out in the backyard. Right.
I'm serious, and the meat, like, you pay a little bit more, but guess what? That's what you get. There's no fillers in this. It's heavy. It's dense. This is meat. This is real fucking shit. And I could smell it. I was like, oh, it smells hot. Hell yeah. And I couldn't wait. I was like, oh, it's not done yet. Am I getting any trichinosis? I got to wait for this shit to cook. Okay. Let me wait. Oh, but the smell when it was cooking, and then the dog went crazy. She's like,
and did you puncture it with a fork and hear the snap?
Yes. So, needless to say, that will be on the menu now. That's some good shit, man. And, you know, I don't even know. I'm hard pressed. Like, I was really stuck on Hillshire Farms. Like,
no. There is nothing like it.
No, this is like, like I said, this is like some shit you get from an old timey butcher. This is no joke. I don't know, and it's not a big, it's not a fussy looking label. On the label, it's just like a pig. This pig looks like he just got home from the factory, and he's got his little cheap-ass lawn chair out and his little cheap-ass grill. And he's like, damn, I had a hard week. And he's got a fork, a plain old fork, and over the grill with the sausage on it. you know, and he might have a can of beer in his hands. I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking at the label right now. But I'm serious. You were not fucking around. That's the real shit. That's all I'm saying. So I got to try all the flavors now because it's heavy. This is like, it's real meat. Like, it's, you know, some meat, some sauces you get is like, it's filler, it's light. Nah.
No, and well, and they make up a lot of the weight with, you know, just pure fat that melts away.
Man, this is no joke. I still had the taste in my mouth right now. And right before that, by the way, I'm bringing back shit from the 70s. I'm bringing back the club sandwich, and I'm bringing back, well, everybody likes BLTs, but basically club sandwich is a fancy BLT anyway. But, yeah, with some good rye bread, so I'm making everybody eat that. So that will be in demand. That's going to be on the trend. But, the Connecticut, yeah. So you were not messing around. I mean, you could smell it. I mean, I was like, you know, after when it started, you know, I started with the hot pan, obviously. But,
just so people know, I mean, you can mail order this stuff at least certain times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hickory smoked, so it's preserved.
Well,
and
you can.
It'll blow your ever-loving mind.
So if you think you're eating some good sausage, yeah, you might be, but you haven't had this. You got to try this. It's the truth. It really is. It's the truth.
Okay, you are now among the initiated. I can reveal to you some of the mysteries of the inner sanctum.
Uh oh.
You want to make red beans and rice with this?
Hmm.
When you've done and when you've mastered the red beans and rice with Kaneka sausage, you are then ready, young Padawan, to essay the gumbo.
Oh hell yeah!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you want to get low country weird, because I know this is just a violation of the very basic, very simple recipe. Kaneka sausage, shrimp and grits.
See, you know what? I'm on it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep. And this is how old. Yep, I get it. And you know, I buy those. I'll say a name. I don't give a fuck. They sell this stuff called Lakeside Yellow. They're anytime I can get away from any fucking bleach shit. You know, you're not supposed to eat white food like white potatoes. I love potatoes, but whatever. But anyway. You know, grits are not white, people. They're supposed to be yellow. It comes from corn. So,
in that wonderful cookbook, and you got to get your hands on it. It's called the title is spelled Victuals, VICTUALS, but even
that's
on
old time,
even on the cover it says pronounced Vittles. She goes into a brief historic explanation of the difference between white and yellow cornmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And she also handles it in terms of why do some people make their cornbread sweet?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fascinating discussion. But you are you a cookbook guy? I mean,
Oh, I do.
Because it won the James Beard Award for 2016. You want this cookbook. It's practical.
Oh,
it's real.
I know a beard. Yeah. I may have it in this house.
No. It won the James Beard Award for last year. It was just published last year.
Oh, okay.
But it's called Vittles, VICTUALS. And it is a compendium. It's a compendium of Appalachian cookery.
Okay.
And you will go wild.
Mm-hmm. Yo, you know, that's one thing that we all have that honestly, well, you know, that's why we get into food. It's simple. You know, sometimes the simplest things in life are the best. And sometimes you just need to take a break and just focus on simple shit. And that's why it's nice to know how to cook. And it brings people together. And when you cook a good meal, and the house smells good, and people come over.
Oh no! See, you know, I hate to admit it. I was over at my local big box home improvement store.
I know what you're going to.
And I stared longingly at that
acorn.
Yeah. Oh, I want one. Damn it.
Man, you're not gonna be happy. I mean, you're not, man. You just got to do it, man. You're not gonna be happy.
Well, I gotta be able to do it. I mean, this has been the.
That's why I hate talking about food. This is.
This
not,
has
I'm
been. This has been. This has been. This has been the month from hell. With all the car repairs and keeping up with the bills and all of that stuff and some other stuff that doesn't bear going into. But I don't know. Maybe I can be like Mael or Yule and save nickels and go get me an acorn toward the end of the season or something.
You know what? I feel like. This
but the Oklahoma Joe's offset smoker is $50 off right now too. There's that.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah. Well, you know. Because, you never know, man.
Because the one thing with the acorn, it's kind of set it and forget it, and the same with all the Kamado cookers, you just put it and you walk away and you're done. You know, half the fun is unfolding the chair next to the firebox and chucking in a hunk of hickory mm-hmm. every so often, just to feel like you're doing something.
Poke it around a little bit. Yep.
You know, you got to tinker. Yeah. You got to tinker, man.
Make it look like you're doing right. Oh man!
And in a former day, there would have been a zinc galvanized wash tub with long necked brown bottled beer and ice and rock salt on the ice to make it even colder. And just every so often, you crack one of those little suckers open, and then you throw another hunk of hickory on the fire. And by God, Todd, you feel like you're accomplishing something.
You know. I have a big ass smile on my face. There you go. You know what I mean?
I'm grinning from ear to ear. You know, I mean, and it goes great. It goes great with weed eating. Because I've been on this weed eating binge, and so you know you go out there and you weed eat some of the acre, and you come back and you check the fire, and you know, and stir it around, and you stand in the hickory smoke, and you know, up here, multiflora roses. Are the bane of our existence because they were brought in from out west as the living hedgerow, and they just took over Appalachia. And I've hated them for so long because they're such pernicious little bastards that I never, and you know, this is a classic case of stop and smell the flowers. I never stopped and I was weed eating. And even through the haze of the two cycle oil smoke. I went, and I bent over and I smelled roses smell pretty. These things smell even prettier than great big beautiful red American beauties and so forth. I mean, and there were blossoming honeysuckles right next to them. And the combination of that multiflora rose and that honeysuckle, and never mind the 72 virgins. I'm pretty sure that's what heaven smells like. And every now and then, a little two-cycle smoke wafts up from hell.
Mm.
But it just stopped me in my tracks, and you know, just work on, and then you worked like a dog, and you're all hot and sweaty, and you go over and your ribs or your shoulder or your brisket's mm-hmm. ready. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yes.
No, I get it. You know, and that's a good way to be productive, because when you cook with wood, it's like you're going to have to be outside. So that's what I've learned to do is, okay, do outside stuff, because you know you don't want to leave an unintended fire when you're cooking wood, because it's fire. You know, when you start it, it's like, oh, it's a fire, and you have to keep adding to it until you get a nice bed of coals. Right. You know, and those. So these roses, are they what we call around here these knockout roses that kind of you see them on these old properties where there used to be houses?
They're briary. They're brush. I mean,
yeah.
And right. They will overtake a place.
They will. They like vines, but they're roses. Right.
And you can't kill them.
Well, you knock them down. No, they grow from the root. You got to get the root. They're right. They're ribosome, you know.
Yeah, you knock them down. Yeah. They're right back. And they're so back. I've been cutting through honeysuckle. The blackberries are blooming like crazy and taking the place. And the honeysuckle blackberry and multiflora, you know, primrose, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah, it's
well, two out of three. I don't know. It's a lot of briary stuff.
Oh yeah, and well, yeah. The honeysuckle's a vine, and it just wraps around your weed eater head, and you know, then you cuss.
It's funny you brought that up because I was thinking like this little town I live in. Matter of fact, Jim is from this place where I live, and it was nice to hear his voice because I didn't know what the hell was going on with him. So it was good to hear him, you know. But this place, honestly, if the humans left, it would take like 3 years. Maybe not that long. If I fuck around and don't mow the lawn, don't do the yard for like 2 weeks, I can't find the house. You know,
that's kind of what happened here. I mean, it just rained so hard I could never get a break. So things got decent enough, and I've marched into it.
That's good, man.
And I'm so old school. I mean, our buddy Dennis down in Kentucky, iPod, and listens while he mows and weed eats and stuff. I'm so old school, I don't do that in the moment. I'm just listening to the screaming. Wow. A million years ago when I had the Porsche. I had a killer stereo.
That must have been when you were at Noodle News, maybe.
Oh, we had a thing happen. We had a bunch. Uh-huh. We had a bunch of, get this, antique Porsche 350. Converged on our Virginia. Oh, it was a thing of beauty.
Is that the one with the tail, kind of the tail on it?
Oh, no. This is the earliest. I mean, one of them was a 62. There was I think a 57 356A. It's very, very rounded.
Those aluminum body ones. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, like you said, rounded. Mm-hmm. I think I know the one you're talking about. I remember my dad's girlfriend at one point had a little, this is the early 70s, little 911. It's like a go-kart. But there's something to that. But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not like enthralled. My last car was a Lexus. It was a big boy, and it was nice.
Oh, I have an untreated Porsche problem. There's no doubt about it. But,
well, once you drive those, I mean, there's something to it. It's like, you feel it in the wheel. It's like, ugh. This is what, I don't know. I like material stuff, certain things, but I would still be driving that Lexus if the pecan tree didn't like it more than I did. But, you know.
Is that why you've got a pile of pecan wood there?
That's exactly, yep. So, you know, it's material stuff, man. It'll all be replaced eventually. I can't worry about it. It's better to have loved than lost and never to have loved at all.
Exactly. It is exactly.
You know, I just had a new engine. I had it opened up. It was going to put me in jail because there's something to that. Like, I mean, I have no ticket. Right. Period. And this car had me out there on the interstate. I was doing like a $110, $120, $130. And the car still wanted to go faster. Like, I could still pass, like, kick it down, and it will still go, because I had just dropped a new V8 in it, and it would just flatten out. I mean, it was just, I had the low-profile tires, the rims like the kids have, I mean, dark windows, you know, it was just
you had, going to get... Dude, you had spinning rims?
Oh, all that.
Nice.
It was the pimp car, man. I had that. Yeah, it was, you know, so, whatever, you know.
And then it met a pecan tree.
It met a pecan tree, and something told me not to park there that night in the backyard. I was like, you know, I got lazy, and I was like, something told me not to park there. But like I said, nature.
Was it like a still smell? Todd, don't park under the pecan tree.
Mm-hmm. I knew not to do it. I knew, but I did it. You know, you got to go with your gut. Go with your gut. You know, and that's what the scientists are saying now. It's another brain in our gut. You know, it's all a nerve bundle. There's something to that. But, you know, like I said, it's material shit. You know, whatever. So I'm not fucking worried about it. Because, I'm not, man, my life is good for me right now. I ain't lying. Oh, boy. That's all I can say. This nonsense, man, this is like,
this is all we were waiting on. Now a statistician, if you know, statisticians I used to be around, they would say, well, if you select out all the other variables, the only thing that's left is these hardcore racists. You know, I'm talking about Trump, because this is the great white hope, and nobody wants to fucking tell the truth. That's all this shit is. Now, Van Jones was right when he was talking about white left. What the fuck? You got a fucking ignoramus, an idiot. I mean, what? When I was growing up, everybody, even Abe Lincoln, way back, Daniel Boone, it's like, oh, here's a book in the village. Everybody, oh, let's read the book, and they pass it around like, oh, my God, he's got a fucking book. Let's read. This motherfucker is like, oh, I'm not time to read. What? Bullet points, bitch. Give me some bullet points. I can't read. I have no time for that. So, you know, and look where we are. But these people are like, he's doing a great job. And I hate to do that cracker ass accent, but that's where the fuck we are. You know. But see, the sooner we get this shit settled, the better off we'll be, because I've been hearing things on my favorite shows in the morning. Now, you mentioned what I used to watch all the time, and remember I made a joke about Joe, because he was filleting Trump so much. I was like, man, Amika needs to give him a tissue to wipe that shit around his Krispy Kreme, the Krispy Kreme from around his mouth, because he was sucking, he was doing something. And then he switched up. He said, you know, when he told on Amika and them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I call him filleting Joe. And see, but this is like one of the other problems, is that our systems are broken down. And in other words, the Electoral College didn't work. I mean, they knew this man was not fit. They knew he had mental issues.
But Todd, those Republicans, man, they knew they were going to get everything they ever wanted. They were going to get to dry pop poor people for 4 years running, and them poor people couldn't do nothing but holler holler suey pig. Oh, they were going to have a good time. And that's why this budget's out like it is. It's to remind them, listen, don't screw with me, don't impeach me, and just think about all the poor people you can fuck.
That's what's so strange, not strange, but sick, is that this guy is stealing as much as he can. He's like, he puts the G in grift and grab his whole family. He had those Turkish folk staying in his goddamn hotel. They keep going to Mar-a-Lago. You know, he's making more. They're not going to be able to get the money back, even though it's obvious, like a lot of people have been saying. I remember even the people who used to work for Bush were saying, no, as soon as he puts his hand on the Bible at the inaugural, he will be in violation of the Emoluments Clause. But because, you know, the Republicans own all the seats of government now, and maybe even the Supreme Court, you know, it's going to be ugly. But, it was, and this budget, it's not going to pass Congress, but some of that shit's going to get through, you know. And it's really sad. It's really fucking sad. That's how idiotic those people are. I know you got to go, but how the hell are you going to put a work requirement on someone who's on Social Security disability? That means you can't fucking work.
Right, but see, Republicans have promulgated Republicans have promulgated the myth of the non-disabled disabled person who's a lazy ass freeloader. And they've promulgated it for years, and they believe it like an article of faith. So, you know, they're just going to make people work who can actually work, because they've been freeloading the whole time. See how it works?
Well, they believe in welfare, but they don't believe in wealth. And there is
No, hang on a minute. Look at what Mick Mulvaney said today, okay?
My asshole? Oh, yeah.
Office of Management and Budget.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the Trump budget, if I can look you in the eye and say I'm going to take this money from you so I can help this injured vet, I can do that in good conscience. I'm a lot less comfortable to the point of not wanting to look you in the eye and say, look, I need to take this money from you to give this person over here who really isn't disabled but is getting a disabled benefit, or this person over here who's supposed to use the money to go to school but ain't actually going. You got to have compassion on the wealthy.
Ain't that some shit? But this fascist, mentally ill, tertiary,
$800 billion cut. Billion with a B to Medicaid. Not just cutting the Medicaid expansion from the Affordable Care Act, not just cutting that out entirely, but a whole bunch more of Medicaid too. Because the poor folks is getting to go to the doctor way too damn much. But what they're doing on the underside of this, and I got to get out of here. They're cutting the throats of the hospitals and the doctor's offices too.
Yep.
How's that going to go over?
When this shit, our little hospital, this is the county seat, right? Our hospital has already been privatized now. And they started laying, I can see it coming. I know how this shit looks and works. I can see it. Everybody else, conscious people see it. It's coming. It's going to be ugly, man. This shit, these people are insane. They are so ideological, but they haven't thought this through.
They've thought it through. They've made the assumption that there will be no consequences because, you know, the stupid poors don't vote because they're too busy being poor because that's how poor people are. Right? Todd, well, I got to get out of here, my friend, but good talking to you.
All right. You take care.
All right. Later.
Okay.
Bye now. Our buddy Todd, recent convert to the Church of Conecuh, calling from that's good Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. I don't know. Arnold wants to know work requirement for which disabilities. Where do I find information? So far it's just generalized because it's not. I mean, I guess you could try to find it through. You could try to find it in the actual budget. Good luck. Big thanks going out to Alma, who met Steve in New York's challenge and threw in an extra $8 so that we finished the program with only $250 more to raise. We'll see what happens with the overnight crew. And hopefully we won't, with any luck at all, maybe it'll only be $400 tomorrow. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. Thanks to all of you who spend your precious finite time engaging in this conversation in whatever manner you choose. Thank you to everybody who keeps this program on the air. No advertising, no breaks, the occasional free mention for something like Conecuh sausage, but believe you me, we don't get paid. It's the most honest form of advertising, I suppose. But thank you, one and all. And thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And get well soon, Boss Man Wayne. Good night, y'all.